This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1346. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded February 6th, drastic cuts to VOA still planned. Antarctic activity, Deutsche Welle drops English to Europe. Greece testing new transmitter, better audio from Ukraine. African clandestines, India's big plans for DRM. And the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer, we're happy to report that another shortwave station is now carrying World of Radio. It's KAIJ in Dallas, Texas. They have an antenna aimed northwest, so we hope that will improve reception for World of Radio in Western North America, and we hope also in East Asia and the Pacific. They're two times on each of their two frequencies, Fridays at 11:30 UT on 5755, and then Fridays at 2000 UT on 9480. We, of course, would be interested in informal reception reports about how these are doing wherever you may be. Besides the program schedule, KAIJ has added a bit more information to their website. That's kaij.us, showing that their studios and offices are not in Dallas, but near Nashville, Tennessee, in Murfreesboro. And its general manager is George McClintock, program director John McClintock, both formerly of WWCR as well as several other members of the KAIJ staff. Last week we mentioned that the Voice of America is starting a new service, or rather reviving one, in the Somali language, February 11th. That was soon followed by an unconfirmed report that as Somali is starting, Swahili is ending, at least on shortwave. We'll be needing to check out whether the currently scheduled Swahili service is in fact disappearing. It has been 16:30 to 17 UT daily and extended until 17:30 Monday through Friday, 17580 and 17705 via Botswana, 21480 via São Tomé. We also mentioned that one of these Somali half hours at 16 UT would also be on medium wave, 1431 via Djibouti, which until now has been used only for Radio Sawa in Arabic. However, its antenna is not suitable for Somalia. Ben Dawson, who was involved in engineering the site a few years ago, says the bore site is 325 degrees. It cannot be reversed under its present configuration, which would have been convenient for Somalia. However, it can operate omnidirectionally, which is presumably what they'll do during that half hour in Somali. Last year, we had some alarming reports that the Voice of America and other U.S. government broadcasting were going to be reconfigured with a number of cuts in several languages, including even English. Well, these plans have been revived. Some of them were never put into effect, as the Broadcasting Board of Governors has published a notice about its budget request for fiscal 2008, which is being sent to Congress on February 5th. You can read it in detail in DX Listening Digest, but just summarizing, the languages or countries or areas which will be getting a larger slice of the budget include North Korea, the Middle East, Somalia and Cuba, Afghanistan and Pakistan, and Arabic to Europe on television, and also Venezuela. I'm sure you can see how foreign policy is driving all this. However, in order to fund these areas, some others will have to be cut back, such as eliminating or reducing broadcasts in languages such as Cantonese, Uzbek, Portuguese, Romanian, South Slavic, and Kazakh. No, that's not all yet. Croatian, Greek, Bulgarian, Thai, Macedonian, Serbian, Albanian, Bosnian, Macedonian, Hindi, and Russian should all be cut in some way, if not eliminated. And this in particular is of importance The proposal calls for discontinuing 14 hours a day of VOA News Now English broadcasts, but maintaining VOA's English to Africa and special English and strengthening, as they say, English on the Internet. John Filiozzi, who forwarded this notice, adds, "The submission of the President's budget request to Congress is the beginning of the process for determining the agency's programs in FY08. None of the proposed reductions may be implemented until the Congress has approved them." Rob DeSantos in Ohio says, "The idea that the U.S. will no longer have a radio broadcast presence in English of any consequence is well nigh unbelievable. Barnyard epithets do not do it justice." On the SW programs list, where this is also discussed, Richard Cuff says, "It's time to channel your invective toward your elected representatives in Washington. Keep in mind this is a negotiation process, the memo considered part of the opening salvo. It appears that some of what's proposed is a repeat of what was proposed but not implemented in the fiscal year 2007. Meanwhile, the board of directors of Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty has named a new president, Jeffrey Gedmin, G-E-D-M-I-N. He'll take up his post in March. Since 2001, Dr. Gedmin has served as director of the Aspen Institute in Berlin, whose mission is to foster enlightened leadership and open-minded dialogue. CommanderElliott.com dug further into Gedmin's background and found a November 2001 article critical of then-Secretary of State Colin Powell. He said, "It's an odd state of affairs when the Secretary of State in a Republican administration starts sounding more European than the Europeans themselves." That was published by the American Enterprise Institute. And in the National Interest, winter 2003, he said, "Successful public diplomacy of the 50s and 60s was abandoned in favor of softer, less controversial approaches like the Fulbright program, one of the more foolish errors of our time." It's no big deal to hear it here in Enid, but DXers all over eastern North America were excited this week to be picking up KGYN 1210 in Guymon, Oklahoma, in the center of no man's land, the Panhandle. There's a Philadelphia station, of course, on the same frequency. But it was apparent that KGYN was not operating with its nighttime pattern with a null toward Philadelphia. This might still be the case if you want to try for it, and it has happened before, judging from numerous excited reception reports from the east. Most of these reports were late in the evening, around midnight Eastern Time, give or take an hour. In Elk Ridge, Maryland, Bill Harms says KGYN had a strong signal overpowering Philadelphia's WPHT, only 120 miles from me, with IDs and country music. Well, that was at 4 a.m. on February 3rd. Some DX listeners were even luckier because WPHT unexpectedly went off the air for a while. And there's a new big signal on the West Coast. KTRB, which has been in Modesto, California, has completed its move to the San Francisco market and has started running its 50-kilowatt signal on 860. That began February 1st, according to allaccess.com, via Brock Whaley. Their final format will not be known until the 1st of March, but they say it'll be something different in the market. Meanwhile, they're playing something they call the San Francisco Sound. Of course, for many years now, broadcasters looking to maximize their profits have found any way possible to move a station from a small city to a larger city. And at Northeast Radio Watch, Scott Feibusch says, outside the engineering trade press, it's received almost no attention. And even in the engineering trades, it didn't get the attention it deserved. FCC rule changes that took effect in late January got the attention of consulting engineers and have the potential to lead to some dramatic station moves in the Northeast. The new rules streamline the process by which AM and FM stations change their communities of license and their frequency and their class. For AM signals, any change of community was once considered a major change, requiring a filing window that came only once every 3 or 4 years. For FM stations, changing communities was done through a cumbersome two-step process that began by filing a petition to alter the table of allotments, and only then was followed up with an application to move the station itself. And I might add, at that point, someone else could move in and get the nod. Scott says now that's all changed, and most of those moves can be found as a simple one-step application without waiting for a window. The first batch of applications began to emerge from the FCC. What's the status of Toronto's shortwave station CFRX 6070? Saul Chernos says, Harold Sellers of the Ontario DX Association advises me it's been off the air for several months due to a transmitter fault and a damaged antenna. It will be springtime, at least, before they are back on. They're having trouble fixing the transmitter and need to replace the antenna feed line and possibly the antenna itself. That was posted on the AMFM TVDX list at qth.net. In ODXA Listening In, Fred Waterer forwards this report from the Associated Press and the Toronto Star, dated January 26th. Mannheim, Germany. Prosecutors asked a court today to sentence Ernst Zundel to 5 years in prison for his persistent denial of the Holocaust through writings on a high-profile website. In his closing arguments, prosecutor Andreas Grossmann called Zundel a political con man from whom the German people must be protected, widely quoting from his writings, which argue that millions of Jews did not die at the hands of the Nazis. Zundel is charged with 14 counts of incitement for a series of pamphlets and for disseminating far-right and anti-Semitic propaganda through his website based in Canada. He was deported from Canada in 2005. Since then, his supporters have argued that Zundel is a peaceful campaigner denied his right to free speech. For a while, as Fred reminds us, Zundel's shortwave broadcasts were transmitted from the USA and from Russia, two of the anti-Nazi powers in World War II. From Mexico City, Thierry Fricot says, for a few days now, someone in Mexico City is retransmitting Radio AMLO from Puebla on 153.0125 FM. This frequency belongs to the free band segment here in Mexico. The signal is taken from the Internet. Here in the south part of Mexico City, I receive the signal S3 with a low level of audio. But listening to one of my favorite local ham repeaters, someone said the signal is full when you're in the northern part of the city. Radio AMLO means Radio Andrés Manuel López Obrador. The content is mainly political with two-hour segments. He was hearing it around 1500 UT, although the time checks were wrong, so it was apparently recorded earlier. Jim Thomas in Colorado, who is compiling an Emisoras de FM directory for Latin America, reports on the WTFDA list that FM dials are getting more and more crowded south of the border. For example, in Mexico City, there are 28 FMs, plus 15 more within a 25-mile radius. In Guadalajara, there are 25. In San Salvador, 49. In Guatemala City, 50. In Tegucigalpa, 34. In Managua, 35. In Panama City, 35. In Santo Domingo, 59. Port-au-Prince, 35. In Kingston, Jamaica, 28 FMs. In Honduras, in some cases, there are as many as 8 stations on a single FM frequency. And Nicaragua signed on 65 new FM stations, mostly low-powered, in the fourth quarter of last year. If you hear a Latin American on 4855 or so, it may not be the listed Radio La Hora in Cusco, Peru. Dario Monferini forwards word from Carlos Gamarra, frequency director for Radio La Hora, saying they've been off the air because of an electrical discharge which damaged the transmitter. It may take 2 or 3 months to get back on shortwave. Here's a frequency from Peru you might want to try for, a harmonic 18060, 3x6020, Radio Victoria in Lima, reported by Adán Moore in Paraguay, Conexión Digital, at 1716 UT. As far as I know, this has never been reported from North America. You might also look for the second harmonic of its other frequency on 19440, both variable. You're in tune with the 1,346th World of Radio. Our address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. Our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for financial support go to Rod Scribner in Maine in memory of Rocky. It's been 4 months since the last report I've seen of LRA 36 Antarctica, so I'm wondering if anyone has heard it since or heard it lately. The nominal schedule was 18 to 21 UT, Monday through Friday, on 15475.9 variable upper sideband. However, the first hour blocked by Gabon. It seems as if they've taken the entire summer off. They usually rotate personnel around January, I think, causing some break in transmission. So I hope people will look for their weak signal in case they're back. 15476 variable between 19 and 21 UT on weekdays. In the past, it's been reported a lot more from Europe than from North or even South America. Well, we know there is ham activity, at least, from Antarctica, and the Worldwide Antarctic Program's Antarctic Activity Week is coming up, February 19th to 25th, a unique worldwide event, ham celebrating and working to improve interest about Antarctica and related matters. Please note, however, that many of the hams participating are from research institutions outside Antarctica. More details of this at www.ddxc.net/WAP. This activity seems to be centered in Italy, as a matter of fact. That news from OPDX via Dave Raycroft, ODXA. Shortwave from Iceland has survived into another month. I heard it February 3rd. Until closing at 14:56, a bit later than usual on 13865. We mentioned before this is due to be replaced by satellite, so the following item from Iceland Review, February 2nd, may have a bearing on it, although it doesn't mention shortwave. An agreement has been signed with Telenor in Norway to broadcast RUV via satellite to rural areas and vessels at sea. RUV is scheduled to be broadcast for the first time via satellite this year in April. Rainer H. Stephenson in Iceland tells DX Listening Digest more about the non-satellite broadcast. RUV rents transmitter time from TFA in Gufunis, slightly odd frequencies and only one sideband. It's a communication station. Transmissions to Europe are live from the national network, but those to North America are recordings. Also on February 1st, Ríkisútvarpið dropped its old 5-note short news and 9-note evening news jingles in favor of one that sounds like a muted marimba. I've not listened to it on longwave yet, he says, but I fear it'll be hard to read, longwave being 189 kHz, which does make it deep into North America. Some schedules show BBC World Service in Spanish at 03 to 04 UT, not only on 6110 via WHRI, but also on 7315. However, I monitored and confirmed this is not the case. It's only on 6110, 7315 with regular World Harvest Radio programming as of February 3rd. Via Mike Barraclough, Dave Porter points out that the BBC Engineering website has some lengthy, detailed articles about the technical history of its shortwave and other transmitting stations, such as Wolverton from 1943 to 1993, and another article on Droitwich. It's www.bbceng.info. As I tune around shortwave, I often run across Radio Nederland in Dutch, but they never seem to be playing any music or even classical music, so I look at the program schedule. There is Nederlands Concertpodium, which is dedicated to classical music, but it's not on shortwave, only on satellite and internet, twice on weekdays for 2 hours, at 19 UT and repeated at 0100. You can eventually find it via www.wereldomroep.nl. By the way, their live stream in Dutch, labeled MP3, is really in real. I think this includes some broadcasts from the Concertgebouw. No specific details are given on the website, but the Portuguese service from Radio Nederland, which has not been on shortwave for a number of years, but still exists on satellite, has a weekly hour-long concert, Concerto Semanal, which you may listen to on demand. And it does come from the Concertgebouw. And there's also a weekly one-hour program on the Spanish service, not on shortwave again, but on the other media, called Podium Neerlandés. Gilles Letourneau in Quebec tells us that he's worked out a special transmission from the pirate Cupid Radio in Holland for North American DXers, especially for the Canadian International DX Club. It has already been heard for on several occasions. Frequency 15070, scheduled Saturday, February 17th, from 14 to 16 UT, the antenna aimed at Eastern North America. Three beautiful QSLs will be available and an information sheet, cupidradio@hotmail.com. In the British DX Club, Dave Kenny says Edwin South will mention at the Reading DX meeting that he's not been able to hear Deutsche Welle's English service to Europe on 6140 since January 31st. Until then, reception was fine. This had been scheduled from the Wooferton site at 6 to 10 and 13 to 16 UT. In Germany, Kai Ludwig and Wolfgang Büschel agree that there's no longer any sign of it. This transmission must have been canceled. Dave Kenny says it looks as though all 7 hours per day of Deutsche Welle's English to Europe has gone, apparently without any announcement. Erik Kuya in Denmark, however, wrote them about it and got this reply from Margot Forbes of Deutsche Welle World. I'm afraid 6140 is not available any longer. We do have various DRM transmissions as well as internet. On January 31st, Italian DXers such as Roberto Scaglioni and Dario Monferrini were surprised to hear the 846 kHz medium wave frequency reactivated by RAI. It had been in Rome, and that was the transmitter which was accused of causing medical problems to those too close to it. Apparently it's back on testing, but with lower power than before, and there's speculation maybe they're getting ready to try DRM on it. Giampiero Bernardini in Italy says he got this info from Andrea Bornino, who works for RAI. It is testing the frequency with 50 kilowatts. They want to measure pollution. If the test is okay, it will remain on the air. In Australian DX News, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria reports hearing the voice of Greece on a new frequency, 6210 from 06 past 08 UT. However, he does not point out that it's an unintentional frequency, 15630 minus 9420. However, some other new frequencies are intentional. On February 1st, Babis Karlampopoulos asked John Babis in Maryland if he could hear them on 5865 until 1000 UT. No, we couldn't, but we tried to get more info. He said the test was on 5865 from 22 until 07, and also testing 15630 from 11 to 1530 GMT. We asked him where it was coming from, and he said it's no relation with Avlis, which is their main transmitter site. The test would be continuing for 1 week. Well, if not Avlis, where is it coming from? Have they resurrected the former VOA relay site at Kavala? This question has still not been answered to our satisfaction, but meanwhile, monitors in Europe are hearing the voice of Greece on four frequencies at once instead of three. Noel Green heard them on 9420, 9935, 17525, and in addition, 15630, the latter with a much weaker signal. Another day, around 0900, the fourth transmitter was using 11645. On the January 27th edition of Hold World on the Radio Dial from Radio Ukraine International, Oleg Yegorov mentioned that Andriy Baranski in Vancouver had found a better site for audio streaming from Ukraine, including Radio Ukraine International, 64 kilobits per second, meaning that now we can tolerate listening to music on the station. It's the stream labeled RUI2 at media.wnet.ua/lists. Those in Eastern North America who have trouble hearing or find the timing inconvenient for Radio Tirana's English broadcasts in the evening may be reminded by Tom Sliva in New York City of the broadcast to Europe at 21 UT on 7530. He says on February 3rd it had a powerhouse signal, although modulation was typically poor. Some great programs on tourism, history, and local music, identifying as this is Radio Tirana in English on shortwave. Although intended for Europe, this antenna is aimed in the same direction as Eastern North America. The frequencies are never same from one day to the next, but the Afro-pop music distraction on the 17 megahertz band was observed on February 2nd by myself, Noel Green in England, and Jose Miguel Romero in Spain, in parallel with Africa number 1 frequency 17630. At that time, the Afropop was on 17650 or 17640, and monitored by Bernie O'Shea in Ontario as well. This should remove any lingering doubt, if there is any, that the Afropop music distraction or jammer is also coming from the Moyabi Gabon transmitter site. Radio Waberi, the clandestine for Somalia, has ceased broadcasting as of February 2nd, says DX Mix News in Bulgaria. That was Fridays at 13:30 to 14 UT via Jülich, Germany on 17550. And we heard it a number of times here. Jeff White, who brokers the service for Radio Miami International, says Waberi hopes to return soon. We mentioned recently that VOA's Studio 7 service to Zimbabwe was being jammed on 17730. But the new February 1st update of the World Radio TV Handbook, available to everyone by PDF at www.wrth.com, says that this transmission via Morocco has moved to 15770. That's Monday through Friday at 17 to 1830 UT, partly in English. So I'm wondering if the jamming has followed it there. BBC Monitoring follows up our previous report of that new Eritrean station on 5100 Bana Radio. They monitored it on January 30th, starting at 1455 UT in vernacular, but then English from 1458, program titled Academia. They announced from Monday, February 5th, you can listen to one of our four radio programs in English every evening from 7 to 7:30. That's in universal time, 16 to 16:30, an hour later than before. Radio Bana, which means dawn, is operated by the Eritrean government, programs in English and local languages, produced by the Adult Education and Media Department of the Ministry of Education. Anyaris Havalainen in Finland has already received a postal reply from them, not with much detail, but saying they were pleased to be heard in Finland. Postal address, Bana Radio, P.O. Box 609, Asmara City, Eritrea. And on February 5th, Yari confirmed that they did change their English time to 16 until sign-off at 16:30. At his latest expedition in rural Pennsylvania, Rich DeAngelo reports to the NASA flash sheet, he picked up Radio Peace, that low-power station in southern Sudan, on 4750, January 29th from 0416 to 0436. Partly in Arabic, but with IDs in English. Alokesh Gupta reports that following the experimental DRM transmission on 6100, All India Radio plans to install 32 new DRM regional shortwave transmitters, 22 of them being replacements for analog. The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued February 6th. Solar activity very low to low, geomagnetic field quiet to major storms. A&K indices peaking at 25 and 5 February 13th, 20 and 4 on the 25th and 26th, and down to 5 and 2 from the 17th to 24th. Solar flux rising from 75 February 11th to 21st to a peak of 90 on the 27th to March 1st. And that's World of Radio 1346. I'm Glenn Hauser.